We read from the Word of God as we find it in Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. In this part of the prophecy, he's coming yet to comfort them as he sees them in captivity. But in this part of the book, God speaks to convince his people of their obstinacy, and he exhorts them to obedience. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knowest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and wast called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, lest that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For thou shouldst say, my name be polluted. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens when I called upon unto them, and they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Which among you hath declared these things? The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Yea, I have called him, I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come, ye that hear me, come ye near unto me, hear thee this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, and now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth, say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the desert. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. We look at the way in which God's name is spoken of in those first two verses. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. And then again in that 17th verse, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God. This and other passages that we're going to look at through the course of the sermon are the basis and foundation, the biblical basis and foundation for what we find in Lord's Day 36. Lord's Day 36 is the first of two Lord's Days that treats the third commandment. The third commandment, of course, has to do with God's name. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Lord's Day 36 reads, what is required in the third commandment? That we, not only by cursing or perjury, but also by rash swearing, must not profane or abuse the name of God, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. And briefly, that we use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us and be glorified in all our words and deeds and works. Then this very interesting question, the 100th, is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing? It undoubtedly is, for there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. Therefore, he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. Every one of the commandments, remember, aren't arbitrarily chosen by God as things that he's going to lay on man, but rather each commandment arises out of God's own being. This commandment, in a particularly unique way, does that. Because God's names are his revelation of himself. So we learn of him, we learn who he is, what he is, from his names. And as we're going to see, it can even be said this way, God's names are God, and God is his name. So there's something about the third commandment that if you realize we're dealing with God in his name. This comes out of him. God is telling us, this is who I am. And when we abuse it, or treat it lightly, then he comes back to us and says, this is no light thing. This is so serious that the only right response is death. And he says that to us over against the way we normally take it. Not so serious. Just a light thing, not a big issue. And that's why in the very commandment, he adds, God will not hold him guiltless. We pass it by, insignificant, unimportant, no big deal. God says, yes, it's a big deal. I will not hold you guiltless. If you treat my name in any way less honorably as what I am. So, let's strive again. This is not the first time we're treating the third commandment. Let's strive again to come to a good grasp of God's name, his revelation of himself, and may the impact of it be that we carry that name, that revelation he's given of himself, in a more honorable way than we ever have before. What is his name? How are we to use it? And what are the incentives that he gives to us? What is his name? His name is very unique, unlike all of our names. Our names, well, every single one of us has looked in a book and found out what our name means. But I certainly am not my name and what it means. But God is everything that his name is. And even though we're not our names, our names really don't reveal anything about us except they're a handle that our parents said this child is going to have. And yet, we value our names. We value our names so highly that we're pretty hurt if somebody uses our name in a blasphemous way. Or if it's not on a list of favored ones, our name isn't there, we're hurt. But God's name so reveals him. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, just a simple, short verse. Jehovah is a man of war. Than this. Jehovah is his name. Now that means, yes, the name Jehovah is the name of God. But he's also saying, that's who I am. That's who I am. Know what the name Jehovah means. Jehovah is a man of war. Jehovah is his name. That has to be the idea of it, because when Jesus, in his last prayer, the night in which he was betrayed, in chapter 17 of John, verse 6, said, now this is Jesus speaking about his ministry, I have manifested, not thee, unto the men that thou gavest me out of the world. I have manifested thy name unto the men that thou hast given me out of the world. That name is God. His name is in all the parts of creation. And in his providence, in everything that happens, so that Psalm 75, verse 1, Unto thee, O Lord, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Everything that happens in providence. In the realm of creation, the 8th Psalm puts it that way too. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hath set thy glory above the heavens? Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The text that Joel and Davinia wanted for their wedding this past Friday night included the call to love the Lord your God, to obey His voice, and to cleave to Him. That middle one, to obey His voice. God always is speaking. In everything, He's always, always communicating, always saying something to us. He's always speaking. He's never silent. Never. Now think, how many times do you hear Him in a day? And you go about the normal activity. But He's always talking. Talk about abuse of His name. I'm too busy to hear Him. But He's always speaking. And that's why that phrase is interesting. Obey His voice. The Hebrew word that's translated obey is really the word hear. Listen. And that's what parents sometimes will say to their children when they want them to do something. Listen to me. Are you focused? Are you hearing me? This is what I asked you to do. Listen, hear, obey. If God is speaking in all of creation, then it's really very, very appropriate that we call the Holy Bible God's Word. Because this is His revelation of Himself. This is God's speech. And there are the proper names of God. And again, we've gone over them many times, so that the name God is a very significant, filled with meaning word that He uses to describe Himself. The name Jehovah, the name Lord, all of those are proper names. Then there's the descriptive titles that the Bible gives to God. Almighty, Most High, God of all mercies, Father of all mercies, God of all comfort, Holy One, Lord of hosts, Everlasting One, Rock, Redeemer, and on. God's attributes are His names. The communicable ones, the incommunicable ones, they all reveal Him, tell us something. He, better turn it around, God is speaking to us in each one of those attributes, telling us who He is and what He is. Every one of His commandments, that's what we've been trying to point out, and we will continue to do that in the remaining 7 commandments, the Lord willing. Each commandment arises out of who God is. It's a statement that He gives to us. So He says, these are the things that you must do because this is who I am. This is what I am. And again, not some arbitrary commandment, but very specific commandment arising out of His being. And every one of His works, they're all God's revelation. The best name is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Acts chapter 4, the Apostle Peter talking to the crowd after he performed that miracle at the Solomon's temple said, neither is there any other salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. Now he'd just been talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man now stand before you whole. And then he adds, now there is salvation, there is not salvation in any other than him. But then instead of saying Jesus or Christ, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallowed be thy name. God has revealed himself. We must take that revelation in the scriptures, but in all of creation and in all of his speech, and take that revelation and hallow it, separate it from what we know, from what other people say about him. His revelation is so holy, so separate from all other knowledge and revelation. And it's because that revelation of Jesus is the answer to all our doubts and fears. Very, very practically. I want to give an example pretty soon about silence and connivance. We can abuse God's word by silence. Mr. John Van Dyke had a father, Mr. Herm Van Dyke, who was employed in a job that brought him into contact with many ungodly, worldly men, who in the course of the day would frequently take God's name in vain. And more than twice or three times, Mr. Herman Van Dyke came to this young pastor agitated, disturbed, hurt, feeling depressed because he felt so guilty. He didn't say those names. He didn't speak them, but he heard other men doing it. And that made him, by his hearing it, feel terribly guilty that he had done it. He had something there. There was something about that, so that when we talk about going to a restaurant in the mall, TGIF, we didn't even think. Thank God it's Friday. That hurt him. To have that kind of sensitivity is something we ought to pray for. We got a long ways to go to get that, many of us, me. And yet, there was another revelation of God in this name, Jesus, that was the answer to all of his fears. Don't deny that by silence we're guilty. That's not the answer to his guilt. The answer to his guilt is there's a name, there's a revelation that God has given of himself, in addition to their abuse of it, that says, with Jesus, there is forgiveness. And your sin is not something you must carry around with you and feel guilty about. You're forgiven. So don't deny sin and make it something that I'm not guilty of. No, come with the answer that there is a name of forgiveness. How are we to use that name and his names? Always with awe, always with a praise that's equal to his awesomeness. That shows we have a grasp of his greatness and of his majesty. Angels and men are called to give to God the glory due to his name. In Psalm 29, verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 66, verse 2. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Psalm 96, verse 8. Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. To say God, to say our Father who art in heaven, but to say it with that overwhelming consciousness of the majesty. That's what this commandment, that's what these verses, give to God the glory that's due his name. And the reason is because God is good. There's something really neat about that. He's not just the greatest. He's not just the best. The Bible makes it so simple. God is good. And that simple expression describes the majesty and the greatness of God. God is good. And any disregard that we may give to his revelation, or to treat it as if it's common and insignificant, is identified as the vilest contempt. So the manner that we're going to speak of him, the manner we're going to speak of his works, the manner in which we're going to speak of his revelation, must convey that sense of majesty and glory. His names are to be loved and honored. Again, bear with me. Listen to a few quotes from the Psalm. Psalm 5, verse 11. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Let them that love thy name be joyful in thee. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 116, verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Jehovah. So, to use that name with reverence and to give it the glory that he's worthy, that's due him, means one, he calls himself the one who helps, the one who saves. So call on him in time of need, in time of hurt. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, because he is a sure help. We worship him when we recognize, I can't call on another human. They can't do it in themselves, except they point to Jehovah. He is the only one who is able. Such prayers honor the revelation that he's given of himself, because he says he will help and he will save. We glorify God's name when we obey his commandments. Remember, his commandments are revelations of himself. No greater obedience, no greater praise and worship is given to him than when we obey. Obey for his sake, not ours. Sometimes we obey for our sakes. This is what's going to get me ahead. This is going to make me look good. No, obey for him and his sake. We glorify him by taking the revelation that he's given of himself and propagating it. We do that when we teach our children. We do that when we give a witness to those about us. That name you just used, sir, ma'am, do you know what you just said? That's the name of my God. And it hurts me when you hurt him. Please refrain. When we advance his revelation of himself, the truth, when we seek to help one another and encourage and build each other up, that's how we honor that name. He says the best way to honor that name is to love me. That's the heart of it. What does it mean for you to love God? We know love, a kind of love. But to love God, not just respect, not just honor, love him. And we honor his name when we thank him. Thank him for food and drink. Thank him for being in control. Thank him that nothing happens by chance. Thank him that the devil, as powerful as what he is, can't separate me from his love. Thank him for all things. Even things that really, really hurt. There's physical pain, there's emotional pain. Yesterday morning I saw Elder Knott, and he had to use the bathroom to see what it took for him, just having surgery 3 days before, to roll out of bed and sit up. But to know God wants me to know this pain. This is not some work of the doctors. This is not something I just have to grit my teeth and go through. God wants me every second to know the pain that I'm experiencing. This is a gift he's given me. How am I to use this time and these moments and this pain and this hardship to use a death of a little child to know that that's his work, my Father's, and behind it is a love that I can't measure. All the way my Savior leads me. All the moments. There is his name. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Now there's a special way that we have his name. In the Hebrew, the commandment comes that we are not, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. That word take has as its root meaning the word carry. So what God says to you is this: I have taken myself and I lay it on your shoulders and in your arms and in your hands and in your mind. You are carrying my name. Now, another way to say it is, you are a Christian. You are carrying the name of Christ. Always. When you're cleaning the toilets, when you're making a sale, when you're at the coffee shop, when you're playing, when you're working, you are carrying the name of God. Don't carry that name without being aware that you're carrying it. Sometimes it's the name Christian. Used to be, they had the bands, WWJD. They carried it. Some of you have necklaces with crosses. You are carrying the name. Don't carry that name in an empty way, as if it doesn't mean anything. And there's no greater motivation for how we live in the dark, in a room all by ourselves with a computer, iPad, cell phone, all by ourselves. Nobody. Oh, yes, there's never nobody. There he is. And we're carrying his name. Thou shalt not take the name of Jehovah thy God in vain. So that we become an occasion for blasphemy to be placed on God and on his word and on Jesus Christ. But instead we are to adorn that name by the way we live. And that's why the Catechism goes on and says, any casual use of God's name, anytime we empty the name of the honor that belongs to it, profanity, curses, damning people to hell, God damn you, is so easily said. We might not say God, but let's be aware that that's what we're meaning. We take to ourselves the right to send people to hell. Witchcraft, sorcery, rash injections, interjections. I had a grandmother. She could say mercy and not 100 times a day. Mercy me. Goodness. gracious. Now maybe we don't use those interjections today, but we've got them. Connivance and silence. We spoke about that. Beloved, there are some of us who empty the name of God of its meaning. Really, the most common one is the word Lord. When we pray, we use the word Lord to start every sentence. But we're totally oblivious of what we're saying. We're just kind of filling in space. Be careful in how you begin the prayer, the address, the name you're going to use. Don't start the same way all the time. Think about what you want to say, what occasions the prayer, and then use a name that's appropriate. Otherwise, we empty the names of meaning. Use God's names correctly, meaningfully, giving to Him the praise that's due to Him. And that's why God gives the incentive at the end of this commandment. God will not hold him guiltless that empties his name of its meaning. Again, as we said in the introduction, we're inclined to say, no big deal. God says, Leviticus 24, verse 16, you empty my name of its meaning, you are worthy of death, stoning. God is not and will not be mocked. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He wants us aware. So contrary to common thinking, we must realize, like the Catechism says in that answer of 100, there is no sin that's greater or more provoking to God than this one. We would probably list the commandments in a different order. This one, the third, no sin more provoking to him. So let us use his name with reverence, with godly fear, just with great care. Now that's going to start this way. Forgive us. Forgive me. The kind of sorrow that confesses that I have failed to give attention to his name as I should. But then, secondly, I am resolved. Please give me the grace to use that name with reverence and with godly fear. If we turn and close with this quote from Hebrews 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And the next verse, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. O Lord our God, take this word, may it be thy word, put it firmly before us as something that gives us concern and motivation so to live as before thy face. We thank thee for the privilege of being able to worship freely without any hindrance, without those who would get in our way from and disturbing our worship. We thank thee for that. Give us thy blessing now so that this nourishes us for the whole week before us. For Jesus' sake, amen.